I see mother's really going like this. Praise God. You're all by yourself. Hebrews, not Hebrews. Praise God. Amen. Amen. So thankful for the presence of the Lord. Everybody say, thank God for the blood.
Thank God for the blood.
Amen. If you're not familiar with the story of the cross, sometimes people say things like that and kind of trip you up and make you feel like, well, what does that mean? That kind of sounds a little morbid and gruesome. But if you understand the blood and the significance of his blood being shed and how he died to let us live,
amen,
you'll be thankful that he shed his blood willingly, praise God, on the cross. Is there any people that have been beneficiaries of his power and of
yes,
his salvation yes, that are
yes,
thankful
hallelujah,
to the Lord Jesus? Hallelujah. Amen. Come on, I hear about four or five people, but there's a whole lot more people that have been beneficiaries.
Hallelujah, that's right. That's right.
If your sins have been washed away and God has given you a new slate, a new chapter in life, hallelujah. If your sins have been washed away by the waters of baptism, you ought to lift your voice and thank God. It shall never get old to you. What God did on Calvary, hallelujah. I'm so thankful. I'm so grateful. Hallelujah. And I will give God praise no matter how I feel. Hallelujah. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Praise God! Praise God! So thankful for the power of the blood that washes away every sin. Amen. Amen. And it is very significant because the blood is spiritual currency. Amen. And without the shedding of blood, there is no removal or remission of sins. Amen. So Jesus, by dying on the cross, shed his blood to purchase our souls back from the grips of hell and the devil.
Amen.
Amen. It had to be a transaction because it had to be legal by law of the king. Amen. If you sin, you should die. Amen. That is the payment and judgment of sin. Death. Praise God. Everybody say the wages.
The wages
of sin
is death.
But the gift
of
God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Aren't you thankful for that? Amen. 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 Praise God. I'm so thankful to hear the updated numbers of what God did on Sunday and what God did yesterday. Praise God. And it is no damper on the atmosphere of what God is doing. Praise God. Based on anything that was mentioned regarding technical difficulties or things that went on as far as us baptizing folk, and people were probably expecting to hear their name called. And I'm going to tell you right now, if you get this gift that I'm talking about today, your name will be called. Praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Your name will be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Amen. Because that gift card might run out. And knowing some of y'all in your Amazon habits, praise God, that gift card might run out before you run out of the service. Amen. Praise God. You might have something in your cart already.
Amen.
Y'all laughing because you know.
Amen.
If you know, you know.
Amen.
Amazon addicts. Amen. You got 15 things in your car, and you know you're supposed to slide it over to the see it later or your list, on your Amazon list, but you keep it in the car. Some of y'all looking at me. Especially y'all married folks, some of y'all wives, y'all put that stuff in the car. You share that Amazon account with your husband, and you just hoping that he just overlook all the other things when he's going to get his new shaving razor or something like that. And he just presses buy now. You don't realize he just spent $200 on bath salts. and sprays, body sprays, and potpourri and all that stuff. Two, three, I don't know. Praise God. Whatever it is. Chapter 5 of Matthew, we're reading from the scriptures tonight. Amen. 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 Chapter 5, the book of Matthew. I'll go ahead and read it in your hearing. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Now, I'm reading here from a scripture that many would call the Beatitudes of what Jesus taught regarding how to live for God. Amen. And you got to understand, sometimes when you hear certain terms, you got to make sure that your mind is set on how the scriptures say things and explain things rather than the terminology that's placed on it by someone else studying these terms. So the term that was given to some of these things are the Beatitudes. Now, if you knew nothing about the Bible and you knew nothing about Christianity, that term would kind of confuse you. What is a Beatitude? I know what an attitude is, and I know how to be. Amen. And that was the term that was given to this, the Beatitudes. But these are not just attitudes, but you have to look at what the scripture is saying here. Everybody say blessed.
Blessed.
Every verse that is outlining what this scripture is influencing us to be like, it starts out the statement by saying blessed, meaning this is how you become blessed.
Right, right.
So these are not just attitudes to be, these are blessings.
Amen.
Amen. Everybody wants to be blessed. Amen.
Amen.
And the Bible says that Jesus starts out, this is one of the very first things he taught in a mass scale when he saw the multitudes. He began to teach them how to be blessed. Amen.
Amen.
So he said, blessed are the poor in spirit. Not just poor people, but poor in spirit. People that humble themselves.
Amen.
For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Meaning, there is a reward for that.
Right.
Side note here, the Bible never tells anyone to humble someone else.
Thank you. Thank
trying
you.
To keep you humble, brother.
Thank you.
Just want to humble you, sister. Well, you are outside of the Bible. As a matter of fact, the Bible says, humble yourself
under the mighty hand of God.
Amen. So when you humble yourself, the Bible says there is a blessing in that. He begins, and it is very important to know what he begins talking about. So he is telling you how to be blessed by being in the kingdom of God. Blessed are those that humble themselves, for yours is the kingdom of heaven. He also goes on to say, blessed are they that mourn. There's a time to mourn. Blessed are the meek, those that are not just humble, but are willing, amen, to endure some things, amen, and not have to respond or lash out in a way that will try to jeopardize somebody because of how you feel.
All right.
Man, that's quiet.
Man. Amen.
I know that's not American, but that's biblical.
I know.
Amen. So he also says in verse 6, and this is what I want to focus on today, this is how to be blessed. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. Here's the blessing that's attached. For they shall be filled.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. There's a blessing in being hungry after God. Yeah. Hallelujah. And I believe that there are many people that came here today and you love God and you wanted to be a part of this service, or maybe just out of courtesy and niceness to the person that asked you to come, you wanted to be a part of this service and be with the loved one or friend that you came with. But can I tell you, hallelujah, if you get hungry for the things of God, there's a blessing waiting on you tonight.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. You didn't just come here to be a part of a church service. You came here to get something from God. And can I tell you right now, the way to get it is to get hungry. So I want to preach from this scripture that you can be blessed if you get hungry.
Yes.
Amen.
You can be blessed if you get hungry. Hallelujah. Yes. Lift your hands and let's ask God to speak directly to us. Thank you, Lord God, for your spirit. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the blessings of the kingdom. Thank you, Lord God, for explaining to us and giving it to us up front. And how to be blessed by your spirit. So Lord, we want to position ourselves to be blessed by your spirit and by your power. We don't want to leave this service tonight without the blessing that you wanted to give us. Lord, remove all the obstacles. Remove all the lies. Remove all the hindrances. Remove all the distractions. Remove everything that wants to steal the joy and steal the peace and steal the blessings that are under this tent. In the mighty name of Jesus, we'll go after it with everything we've got. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Clap your hands unto the Lord. Amen. You may be seated today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Anybody ever been hungry before?
Yeah.
I know that might sound like a really dumb question to ask. But there are some people that they are like clockwork. They know when they're going to eat. They know when. But there are some people that like to work until they run themselves into the ground and they don't even realize that they need something to eat until they stop.
Right, yeah.
Amen. There's something, maybe not you, but there's a lot of men like that, praise God, that they'll just keep working. They'll get on that roof, Brother Fred, and they'll just work. Don't even realize that they haven't eaten for 5 days, praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Sister Caitlin's eyebrows is going up like this out the roof and like, man, she's on it tonight. Work, praise God. And sometimes when you're just wired that way to be a doer and get things done, you want to work, praise God, and get it done, and you want everybody else to have the same sentiment. But can I tell you, not everybody has that same sentiment, praise God. Some people get hungry. Amen. And when you are working so hard and you're burning off all those calories by going up and down or whatever, you might work at a factory, you might even work at a desk, praise God. And sometimes that seat is being on that screen, typing like this. And then the computer's not making you hungry, but listening to your coworkers talk about all types of things. Like, I need to take a break. Taking lunch early, because I don't want to stay here listening to this all day, praise God. But at some point, you are going to get hungry. We are made that way. We are not made not to be filled. Praise God. We are created to hunger after something. Praise the Lord. And for those of you that have been living for God for a length of time, maybe you've done something in your spiritual disciplines where you purposefully will not eat. And some of you are like, why in the world would they do that? Amen. Because there is a spiritual discipline to subdue your flesh that we call fasting. Now, many of you that may not be very astute to spiritual disciplines, you may have heard of fasting because maybe you're a health nut. And you've heard about this fasting, especially some of these people that go on all these different types of eating regimens and maybe diets and stuff. You've heard of fasting or intermittent fasting, and you might not eat for a couple meals, and then you eat there, and you don't eat from 8 to 4, and then you eat afterwards, or you eat from sunup to sundown, and then you just fast and you're asleep. That's the diamond.
After my sleep, yeah.
But you really don't know hunger until you haven't eaten all day, right? Some of us sleep, we won't even notice it. We'll just get up, get our coffee, Brother Dan.
That's right.
Get our nice little shaken espresso or Americano from Starbucks that we paid too much for. So God gave us a revelation during the pandemic that we can do it for ourselves for a quarter of the price. Bless God. Just buy the beans and grind it yourself. Amen. Amen. I know it's good. Oh, no, praise God. But you know what? Some of us will go and we won't eat anything and not even notice it. But Sister Greeley, if you ever call that a fast, you will notice it 15 minutes later. You won't eat all day. And if you are just going just about your regular day, you won't even notice it until it's dinner time. But you call that a fast, and you can't even go 15 minutes without getting a bite to eat.
That's right. That's right.
The devil is a liar. Praise God. And just like our bodies are wired, we are made in order to be filled because we need to be nourished. We need to have sustenance inside of us. God made us that way. And a lot of times we must realize that things that happen in the physical or the natural world are a reflection of how things are established in the spiritual world. Praise God. We are not just wired in our bodies to have to eat to be nourished, but we are also wired in our souls to have to feed our spirits and feed our souls. Hallelujah. And the Bible says that the word of God is like bread to us. Hallelujah. And when we omit the word of the Lord from our lives, it is almost like we are starving our spirits and fasting our souls from God.
Amen. Amen. That's right.
That's why it's important to come to church and hear the word taught to you and hear the word preached to you and also crack open the Bible in between services and begin to learn how to feed yourself spiritually. Hallelujah. God wants to fill every soul in this world, but not everybody knows how to hunger properly. They that hunger and thirst after, hallelujah, not just after Netflix, not just after Hulu, not just after the sitcom that you forgot to binge, praise God, but you're willing to feed yourself with some of the things that are going to last for a lifetime and an eternity. Hallelujah. Can I tell you, there are things in this book that if you feed yourself, hallelujah, it will be substance and sustenance to your soul. I need somebody under this tent to get hungry for righteousness and hungry for the things of God. Hallelujah. Earlier this week, we referenced a story about Jesus going to a place in Samaria, and he sat on a well where there was a woman that came to draw water. He began to dialogue with her and began to tell her about a water that will never run dry, a water that if you drink it, it will become a well. Hallelujah. How many are thankful for the well? Praise God. Hallelujah. The well of living water, praise God, that will spring up on the inside of you. But God, hallelujah, does not just want you to thirst, he also wants you to be hungry. Hallelujah. Because when we begin to walk with God, God will offer us things to drink as newborn babes. We desire the sincere milk of the word that we may grow thereby. But at some point, we gotta grow some spiritual teeth and begin to whip. We got to be willing to get our teeth out and begin to chew on some things. Hallelujah. That God might put on our plate. better. Can I preach to a congregation that loves God? It's time to come to the table. Come on. The Lord has prepared a table for you, and he's prepared a spread for you, but you, he can't force feed you. You got to be willing and hungry enough to get to the table. God's not going to force feed you.
That's right.
His word. Amen.
That's right.
I'm so thankful that God's a gentleman.
Yes.
Because God can take you, pin you down, and beat you over the head with that book. But he don't. Some of us do. But he don't. Hallelujah. What he will do is prepare your spiritual food and let you begin to smell the aroma in the atmosphere. Some of you, when you walk into this tent, you knew something's different about this place. That is the aroma of an apostolic environment.
Amen.
And your spirit is picking up that there's a meal here. And if I get to the table, I can be fed for an eternity. Hallelujah. God wants you to get to the table, but you'll never come to the table if you're not hungry. Ring the dinner bell. That don't mean we're going to the dinner table, James. Sometimes we're just busy, you know? Got too much toys to play with. We're in the middle. This Lego is just about to do a backflip and do a daredevil stunt, and I'm over here, you're talking about come eat my green beans. Amen. And while we may know, well, the Lego ain't going to let you grow. Just playing is not going to feed you. Having fun all day is not going to give you nutrition. You've got to put the stuff down that you've been playing with. And get yourself to the table where God has prepared a nutritious meal for your spirit. Hallelujah. Can I tell you, there's an apostolic appetite that God is trying to arise in the heart of every person under the sound of my voice, but he will not force it on you. He will prepare it, but it's your job to come to the table. Jesus begins to deal with this woman. She realizes who she's speaking to, drops her water pot, and runs right to the city. The Bible says the disciples come back, and they try to give him something to eat. He said, I'm good. I'm not hungry. What do you mean you're not hungry? You've been sitting on this well. There ain't no food around here. Of course you're hungry. He said, no. You see, I have meat to eat that ye know not of.
Right, right.
He said, my food is to do the will of him that sent me.
Amen.
Amen. And the Bible tells us that God is willing that none should perish, but that all should. You want to know what the will of God is? The will of God is that all should come to repentance. Hallelujah. That all should come to a changing of your mind. That all should come to a turnaround from darkness to light, from evil to good. Hallelujah. That is the will of God. And when people repent, God says, that's my food. I like to be full on repentance of souls that are hungry for a change. Hallelujah. God's not just going to throw it on you. You got to be hungry for it. And if you're hungry for it, you got to come to the table. Tells us of the story of an apostle. Talk about an apostolic appetite. Book of Acts, chapter 10. I believe that Peter, he was visiting with some friends. He was visiting with one of his namesakes, and his friend's name was Simon. He was a tanner, and that term means a person that had a profession of knowing how to clean fabrics. He knew how to deal with textiles. Tanner was also someone that knew how to dye fabrics and knew how to wipe fabrics and make them clean again, or make them a clean slate so they can make it a different kind of dye. So this is the friend he was hanging out with, and the Bible says that he was in their house and he would have gotten something to eat, but he was so hungry. And I know some of you have never been through this before, but he went over there for dinner to his friend's house, and they were taking long with the food. I know none of y'all ever experienced that. And if you never experienced that, you're probably the one that be taking long with the food. Amen. It's kind of like, you know, holidays, you have some people come over, you know, maybe Thanksgiving, maybe Christmas, maybe birthday, and, you know, we got a spread that we're going to feed everybody, and we tell them, everybody get there for 4 o'clock. 5:30, our stomachs are full with water. Maybe lemonade. And everybody's waiting on the little old hot dog to get charged. Oh, it's not ready yet. I got to see the lines in it. Come on. Yeah. Get the food on the plate. Yeah. There's hungry people here. Come on. Yeah. So, I know some of them are looking at me like, I don't think that's all funny, because you don't want to be taking along with the food. Yeah. Turn up the fire and let's get it done. Come on. It's not going to be perfect, but it'll be done, praise God, and people will be able to eat. Goodness. Don't complain about my attitude if you take it along with the food. I won't be angry with you, but I might be angry with you. Peter's here. He was so hungry, Pastor. And they were taking so long that he fell into a trance. He was so hungry that he started hallucinating about food. He was so hungry that he started dreaming about being full. He was so hungry that God would give him visions about the food. Your soul, but are you hungry enough? Some of you need to get that appetite up. And the reason why you're not hungry yet is because you've been eating candy all day. You've been filling yourself on things that God did not prepare. And that spiritual candy that the devil's been serving up, no wonder why they do that on Halloween, praise God. And they're rotting out your teeth, giving you all types of sugar spikes. And when it spikes, it crashes. That's what the devil stirs you up. He stirs you up the things that'll spike you up and make you crash. Hallelujah. But when God stirs up, when God serves up your meal, hallelujah, he allows you to eat and be filled, and oh, praise God. Listen to me. Here's this apostle that is hungry, and God begins to allow him to see visions of food. Could it be possible that God could allow some things to open up for you spiritually when you get hungry enough for it?
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
Could it be possible that the reason why the things that you've been desiring to see from God has not happened because you've been full of other stuff? You've been full on other counsel. You've been filled with other spiritual deposits into your spirit. Hallelujah. But some of you need to clean out your system, hallelujah, of all the things that have been now nourishing your heart, hallelujah. And you can get full of the right stuff if you come to the table. You will never be hungry enough for God if you've been filled with what the devil served. Don't let devil eggs. Devil's food. Cake. Am I getting you hungry yet? You had an opportunity to be filled. Here's the blessing that's attached. If you rid yourself of the things that your soul has been feeding on, naturally and supernaturally, you will begin to be hungry and long for something to fill that void. And that's when you'll start looking in the right direction. And can I tell you tonight that tonight is the night, and this is the place where you can find what your soul has been longing for. Some of you have been looking for love in all the wrong places, and you've been getting little taste of it here and taste of it there, but it left you malnourished, and it left you with a heart that's broken. But can I tell you, when you get to the table, God will fill your heart with the love that goes beyond any other love that you can find in this world. You can find it at the table of God. Lift your hands to the Lord right now. Come on, you've been mistreated. You've been served up a false sense of hope and a false sense of peace and a false sense of joy that will never last. But this joy that I have, the world didn't give it, and the world can't take it away. This joy comes from the Holy Ghost. This joy comes from being filled with Almighty God. Everybody say blessed. Are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. Here it is. When the Bible begins to outline a statement, including the word shall. All right. This is not a suggestion.
No.
This is an imperative. It is a statement that is declaring something that is going to happen. I'm going to give somebody some help tonight. And I pray right now, and I believe that we're going to see the reflections of it when we come to the altar tonight. Hallelujah. But if you have been seeking the Holy Ghost for a very long time, check your appetite.
All right.
Well, I know it's quiet. It's tight, but it's right. Check your appetite. What have you been feeding yourself? You might have said you want the Holy Ghost, but does your heart reflect your words in how hungry it is for what you say you want?
Amen.
I'm going to make a confession tonight. I've said for probably 3 or 4 years, I desire and I want to lose weight.
All right.
But I have not exercised as I should. Mm-hmm. And I have gained.
All right.
There it is. The preacher just confessed before you.
It happens, yeah.
Amen. Can I tell you right now? What you say you desire, and what you do to what you do to position and prepare yourself to receive it is two totally different things. Amen. And I'm telling you right now, and the Holy Ghost is going to swing through this place when people begin to position themselves through prayer, hallelujah, to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And there are people under the sound of my voice that have never experienced that before. You don't have to wait another day. You don't have to go somewhere else. It's here right now if you want it. But the question is, how hungry are you? And the catalyst for people that take a long time to receive the Holy Ghost or receive something of spiritual value is the catalyst of appetite. Let me tell you something right now. I am a firm believer in the miracle working power of God.
Amen.
Amen. There are people, Pastor Justin testified that he pulled a muscle, and I saw how he was walking around on Sunday. Then I saw how he was walking a little better on Monday. And on Monday, I said to myself, I don't know that God did a miracle when I see that little two-step that he does when he gets excited. And tonight, while we sing, I saw the leap in his step, hallelujah. So I believe that God's a healer. Not by chance. He called for prayer on Sunday. And the church rallied around him and prayed for him. And God touched his body. I've seen people in this church through the years that I've been a part of revivals here. God physically healing people. Amen. But can I tell you tonight that more than healing your body, God is more interested in healing your spirit. And as a matter of fact, every miracle that God has ever done, whether in the Bible or in our day today, has not just been for our enjoyment. It has been to point us to repentance. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. There's a scripture in the Bible where Jesus is rebuking a city called Capernaum because that was the city where he based his operations out of. And that city saw the most miracles of Jesus' time in preaching on the earth. And he began to rebuke them and began to say, you should have repented based on all the miracles that you've seen. So it doesn't matter if you've got miracles happening among you. Do you have repentance happening among you? Amen. Well, I know it's quiet, but God is not just looking to come here and do a bunch of magic tricks so we can begin to tell about what the things God did. God is looking for hearts to heal. He's looking for people to turn around. And when he heals your body, he's looking for you to pay him back. With your heart, with your soul, with your spirit. He's looking for you to say, God, I can't repay you, but I'll give you something that you can't give to yourself. I'll give you my heart. I'll give you my mind. I'll give you my soul. And if God does another miracle in this place this week or even tonight, it is for the purpose of for somebody getting an appetite to repent and an appetite to be filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So yes, I can tell you that God can heal cancer. Yes, I can tell you that God can lower your blood pressure and regulate your blood sugar. God can heal a pulled muscle. God can heal broken bones. God can heal mental illness. And God can even reverse autism. Hallelujah. God can do it. But more than God doing that for your body, he wants to do something for your soul. But are you hungry for it? Are you hungry for it? Come on, somebody. You've got to be hungry enough and be tired of your sleepless nights. Be tired of your depression. Be tired of your heartache. Be tired of what that substance has done to your world. And say, God, I'm desperate. I'm hungry. He's attracted to your desire. He's attracted to that hunger. And you will be filled. Every hand lifted in this place. Come on, there's miracles in this house. And I'm going to tell you right now that the greatest miracle that God can do for you is to fill you with his spirit, with the evidence of speaking in tongues, so that no one can tell you that somebody lied to you, and no one can tell you that you don't have God. But God doesn't make you have to guess. He gives you evidence. He'll begin to overflow you like a river of living water. But you gotta be hungry. You gotta be hungry for it. Stand with me tonight. Hallelujah. So here we are under the tent, meeting with God. And God, he has a table prepared.
Yes. Hallelujah.
And if you feel like you need a blessing from God, God's blessings don't just jump on us. I know. You probably heard that probably happen at work. People say, man, I went to church and caught the Holy Ghost. Go deep. But can I tell you tonight? You can't catch the Holy Ghost. Actually, the Holy Ghost catches you.
Amen.
When you fill yourself.
Hallelujah.
Last night we started out the service saying that we have to respond how God wants us to respond.
Amen.
And not how we feel like responding. If we want to take advantage of what God has available among us. Can I tell you it's the same tonight?
Yeah.
So thankful. I believe it's this sister. Were you praying last night? Were you the one to get baptized last night? Amen. This sister was praying and God touched her heart so. Oh, hallelujah. You can't speak it in tongues. That's the Spirit of God gave you to give it utterance. Can I tell you? God didn't do that for her because she's special. God didn't do that for her because she's better than anybody. He did that for her because she got hungry.
Hungry.
So my question is, Sister Harmony, my question is, how hungry are you?
Lord Jesus, thank you.
How hungry? I said it before, I've seen people as young as 5 and 6 years old receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Meaning that you can be just as young as these young ladies right here and receive something from the table of God. And you can, I've seen someone just about 2 years ago, I was in a revival in Michigan. And there was a lady, she was about 93 years old. And she had been a part of that church for over 25 years. Never received the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Thank you, Lord.
Just so happened that God was doing something in her. And there were some ladies that crowd around her. And I'm just being me. I kind of travel. I pray with different people that are reaching out. I try to get drawn to people that it seems like they're really hungry and desiring God. And I try to align myself with them and help them through that prayer. But there was just something going on over here. So I just kind of walked over, and these ladies were just going crazy. And I seen this 93-year-old lady speaking in tongues. I didn't know the story, but when she stopped praying, she explained to me. She said, I've been praying for the Holy Ghost for 25 years. And God did something to me in this service. Well, I didn't pray as I used to pray for those 25 years. Something was just desperate in me.
Yes.
And I said to God, I have to get the Holy Ghost. Because if I get it, it's going to be a testimony to all of my family members. She wasn't even thinking about herself. She said, when I get it, it's going to be a testimony to all my family members of the goodness of God and that this is real. When she said that, something broke. And she began speaking with tongues after seeking the Lord. So the question is not if you want God or not, but how hungry are you? People that are hungry and desperate are not picky.
That's right.
I don't know about those chicken fingers. Those taste like something you got from the freezer. Those don't taste like Chick-fil-A. Can I tell you right now? Some people that complain about what they get in the presence of God, they're not hungry. They're just picking and choosing. And nothing will be good enough. Nothing will be good enough. But when you get hungry, I don't care if you don't like broccoli.
Yes, that's right.
You looked at your parents all your little life and said, I don't like Brussels sprouts. I don't like carrots. Don't put onions in my food. But when you get hungry enough, if there's food, it's going to be eaten. That's the type of desire that God is looking for from people that want to be filled. When you hunger and thirst after righteousness, there is a declarative blessing attached to your hunger. And the blessing is, you won't walk away hungry. Every hand lifted right now, hallelujah. If your soul is hungry tonight, one more time, we are opening up this front area. We call the altar for you to come and pray. There are some people that has never felt the presence of God before, and you know something is different in this room. And you know that maybe I didn't come here by accident. I know I came here because someone invited me, or I knew there was service going on, but there's something is different about where I'm at right now. That's not an accident. That is God letting you know that he has been waiting on you to come to the dinner table, and he has spread for you a meal that will fill your soul. Hallelujah. So by your response, how hungry are you for the blessing that God has for you right now? Are you going to stay in your seat? Or are you going to come where the food is prepared? Because I don't care how hungry you are, we're not bringing this meal up to your bedroom. You gotta come down to the dinner table. I don't care if you're playing with Legos. care if you're occupied with other things. What's more important than desiring your soul to be filled? You think it's an accident that you were riding by and you stopped to listen? God knew that there's a hunger inside of you, my brother. God knew that there was something that your heart been longing for. Maybe you don't know exactly what it is, but God led you here tonight to let you know that He sees you. He knows, and He's prepared a table for you in the presence of every enemy of your soul. Whether it's habits, whether it's sin, whether it's a mindset that has been plaguing you, you can be filled. You can. Hallelujah. I know we're already praying with some people, but I want to make sure that those that are praying to be filled are positioned to be filled. So if you're praying with somebody, do not pray for them to be filled unless they've been emptied. They have to repent. If there is no repentance, we're going to waste their time. They must repent. Repentance will remove everything that has been blocking. We said on Sunday, it's stopping up your well. It's clogging the flow of God's Spirit. That's what happens when you repent. You're getting all that junk out of the way so God can have access to you. So right now, with your hands lifted, if you're praying with somebody, begin to lead them through repentance in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on, speak to them. Lead them through repentance. Tell them to let their hearts be genuine with God. Telling them to begin to repent and say sorry to God for all the moments that God moved on your heart like He's doing tonight and you haven't responded. For all the moments that you knew God wanted you to be blessed, but you just walked away. For all the things that you've been trying to replace God with, I'm sorry, Lord. I'm sorry. It is not something that will belittle you or take something away from you if you begin to apologize to God. Actually, your apology is a superpower. It begins to position you to receive something from God that you can never get to yourself. So God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry it's taken me this long to repent. I'm sorry it's taken me this long to actually come to church. I'm sorry it's taken me this long to be real with you. I'm sorry, Lord God, for all the times that I've tried to fill myself with things that are not from you. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And when you have prayed that prayer, the person that is praying with you will begin to encourage you to lift your voice. And as you lift your voice and thanks to God. Why am I thanking God? I'm thanking God because as soon as I apologize, as soon as I repent, God forgives. Hallelujah. So I'm thanking Him for mercy. I'm thanking Him for grace. I'm thanking Him for favor. And I'm thanking Him for the blessing of being filled tonight. In the name of Jesus. Come on, right now, in the name of Jesus. Begin to lift your voice and begin to pray to God. Here it is, right there, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Be filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in tongues. In Jesus' name, if you want it, if you're hungry, you're going to be filled tonight. 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 Feel your don't do it quietly. Lift your voice. Lift your voice. And when you do, you'll feel them even stronger. And the more you feel them, it's the stronger that presence of the Lord will move upon you. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Father, come down. Thank you. baptismal tank. There's baptismal robes. They put on a baptismal robe, get baptized, put your dry clothes back on. Amen. It's a simple process. It only takes a few moments. And being baptized in the name of Jesus Christ is something that lasts forever. Amen. Your sins are remitted, paid for by Jesus Christ. You know, baptism is how the name of Jesus, the price that he paid on the cross of Calvary, the sacrifice that he made himself, that gift is applied to your life when you are baptized in the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, how about we give one more song worth of time for you to register in case there's somebody, a new guest that hasn't yet registered. We'll do one more song and then we'll draw for the gifts and conclude. All right? So there's little QR codes around different folds around the camp. If you have not registered, I encourage you to register. It's just take a picture of that with your phone, put your name and stuff in. Your name will be available for the drawing. We're going to give away two Amazon gift cards tonight. And just one more song. Let's do it.
Be right round. Be lifted high in this place. Lord, we want you. No one else will know. Yes, yes. Chains are broken, hearts are open, miracles are in play. Hearts are broken, graces standing, miracles are in display.
Yeah.